soundtrack album. And my guest is Doug McKenzie. Doug, would you explain exactly what a soundtrack is?
Thank you, Bob. Yes, soundtrack album is the album taken from the movie, eh? Like, just the audio portion.
Go on.
Oh, okay. My brother's going through puberty now. I see he's got a couple of hairs coming. Okay. So, anyway.
I might be going through puberty, but at least I don't have BO and you do. Okay, go on.
You're still thinking about that, eh?
Well, you're blowing a whistle on my hairs.
Welcome to The Time Machine, starring Bob McKenzie, where he'll take you back to the past and stand mesmerized by his own pubic hair.
Okay, so let's press on then.
Yeah.
No pun intended, eh, being that records get pressed.
Although my brother's been known to press a ham against a window on a Saturday night.
Okay, so if you saw the movie Strange Brew, you know all about where all this music comes from.
Yeah.
And if you didn't, you should go see the movie or get like about 150 albums and run them real fast in front of you. Did we forget anything?
Only to explain what a soundtrack is, but I guess you think that's not important.
No, you
did. I tried. I started, eh? And then you cut me off.
I wasn't cutting you off.
Even now, my voice is going like yours.
You got any hairs coming?
No way, eh?
Are you bald down there, too?
Take off.
You gotta get a pube toupee.
See, somehow, our soundtrack album has become a total discussion of, like, pubic hair.
I'm trying to get off
only
the cut.
Because my brother is mesmerized by it. He's nuts.
Okay.
You're a knob.
Okay, so let's end the cut, play some music from Charlie Fox and the Orchestra, a 56-piece symphonic orchestra that scored our movie.
Yeah, they're waiting.
Well, actually, we scored the movie. He did the music for it.
They're waiting for us to finish, eh?
I believe I hear the baton.
Oh, yeah. My brother's got a pencil, eh? And like,
shut up.
Oh, shut up.
Take off.
Here goes his lame voice again.
That's the baton. Here comes 56 pieces of music from the movie Strange Brew.
So that is what a soundtrack album is. Good day.
Maestro.
Notation for stop.
Stop, Avanti. Arret. Okay, there's lunch next door. Did you get the 56 pieces of chicken?
Yeah.
Did you get 56 pops, too? Don't
yeah.
give them beers, they'll fall
56
asleep.
56 coleslaws and 56 napkins and then 56 handy wipes. Those are beauty things, you open them up.
The wet there? Ones?
Yeah, wet naps, sorry.
Those are beauty.
Yeah.
Okay, so, 56 lunches. We'll have more symphonic music in a moment. But first, a word from our film.
You do the theme, eh?
Oh.
Good day. Oh, do our new movie theme, eh?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Good day. I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother, Doug.
How's it going, eh?
Welcome to our movie, eh? Okay, our topic is movies.
Yeah.
Okay, first off, difference between movies and TV, eh? Okay, go to TV.
This is the difference between TV and movies, eh?
So?
Okay, go back to movies.
Okay, zoom out, eh?
Yeah.
Let's show how big the screen is, eh? Zoom
look
out.
Look how huge it is, eh?
Like, normally we just have Great White North, eh? But look, we got, what's okay. that over there?
Okay, like England and Ireland and France, eh?
He's a genius, eh? He knows the atlas. Okay, and over here we have...
Russia and Hawaii.
Okay, so all hosers in Russia and Hawaii and England, welcome to our movie.
How's it going,
okay,
comrades?
We made... zoom back in, eh? Okay, we made a movie, eh? So we're gonna show that now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beauty
this
idea.
Movie was shot in 3B. Three beers and it looks good, eh?
Hoserama. Call it Hoserama.
Okay, so we made a movie, so sit back, get some corn, and let's have let's movie time.
Okay, turn it on.
Okay. Give enough time just to see. Okay.
Okay, then 10 years after World War IV.
2051. No, more.
What? No.
2051, the future.
They saw it already. Take
next
off.
Century.
I was the only one left on the planet after the Holocaust, eh?
Hey, go.
The Earth had been, like, devastated by nuclear war. Like Russia blew up the U.S. and U.S. blew up Russia, eh?
Statue of Liberty.
Lucky for me, I'd been off planet on vacation at the time of the war, eh? There wasn't much to do. All the bowling alleys had been wrecked. So as I spent most of my time looking for beer. One day, I was out looking for a nice place to build a city for my children when I spotted a mutant in the Forbidden Zone. I landed my vehicle to pursue and destroy this genetic freak before he could warn other mutants in the underground caves. I was kind of like a one-man force, eh? Like Charlton Heston in Omega Man. Did you see it? It's beauty. Yeah! Fleshy-headed mutant, are you friendly?
No way, eh? Radiation has made me an enemy of civilization.
Alpha Base, this is Bob McKenzie. I've spotted a fleshy-headed mutant in Sector 16B.
Oh, take off, you hoser!
Dude, what happened, eh? Film broke! Oh, jeez. Gotta fix it, eh? Sorry, film. Hey,
sorry,
I can't see, eh? Turn the lights on.
It's
what do you got?
He wrapped it.
What not? Jeez, we had a lot of popcorn, too.
Oh.
Okay, you cover. I'll fix film, eh?
Oh, I'm getting whiplash from my burps, eh?
Okay.
Oh. Oh, nice going, you knob.
You want a beer?
No, I want to explain what happened.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this is where the part in the movie, eh, where, like, a hoser broke the film.
I didn't break the film. It broke itself in the projector.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, it broke, but you didn't get to see the end of the mutants
Thank
of 2051.
Well,
what's wrong?
No, nothing. It was, I know what happened in the movie. It wasn't that great.
It was so. It was beauty. It was sci-fi. That's where it's at these days. So anyway, we'll play the rest of the music and continue the story, eh? Maestro? Okay, here the mutant drives off and then goes up into the air in Bob's machine, eh? See, that's the takeoff music there. Beauty, eh?
Meantime, I was back trying to figure out how to catch up with the mutant, and I realized if I hitchhiked, it would do me no good because there were no other people around. Then I figured maybe the mutant's so stupid that if I hitchhike,
okay,
he'll pick me up.
What? This is where the mutant flew away to, like, a disco planet.
A disco planet?
Yeah.
Sci-fi is really where it's at these days, eh?
Hey, here come the mutants.
I got away from those mutants. But soon, I was to run into the king of the mutant colony.
That was me, eh?
What's this?
This is where with all the mutants went shopping.
Oh. You're confusing me. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, stop for a sec. Stop. Stop. Okay.
Okay, let me refresh your memory, Egghead. The mutant takes off in your flying van, eh, and flies to the planet of the mutants. And where are you? Running around in circles like a goofy chicken, eh? And then, like, you find a way to get to the planet of the mutants.
Lay one down, will you? Give me a break. Egghead, goofy chicken? What's all this?
Take off.
All I know is you got 56 pieces of orchestras in there eating chicken. Okay, they come back, they're playing some music, and you're saying stop to tell your dumb story. Why don't you just finish the music and without him talking, play it. Shut up, will you?
Back up. Back up. Okay, stop. Now go forward. Make him hear that again. Also, now the audience knows that there's no orchestra there because that was obviously a tape.
No. There, we got to stop for a sec. We got a special orchestra that can play Rewind.
We do.
Orchestra, get ready for a rewind. Okay, and thank you very much. See?
Okay, orchestra. Now, go forward, please, at high speed. Dude, stop.
Jeez. That's a lot of music they just played.
Yeah, I know. Okay, here's where the mutant and Bob are wrestling, and he's got him by the throat, eh? And then Bob flips him over, and the film broke again.
No, that's where we broke for lunch.
Take off the...
You can hear a guy calling lunch in there. Hey, rewind that, will you? Okay. Okay, you listen close. You'll hear the guy yell for lunch.
Here's what happened. My brother just leaned over in his chair and
Bull
went...
roar. I did not.
He did that.
I did not.
You did not. You did so.
So that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. Beauty, eh? Too bad you miss it.
Okay. Our topic now is directing, eh?
We need some experts on that one.
No, we directed.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
So, okay, a lot of people wonder, what does the director do, eh? Okay, well, this is what a director does. Director says action.
And he says lunch.
And he says cut.
And he says break.
I want to give you an example of how that would work. Doug, if you don't mind being an actor in this little scene.
Not at all. Go ahead.
Okay. Everyone ready?
Sorry, I'm late.
No, just...
Being an actor, that's what they do. They're always late.
No, they're not. Not everybody.
Okay.
Okay, when I say action, you go. And when I say cut, you stop. I just want to show everybody, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, everyone ready? And action.
I did not do it, you knob. You're the one that...
Cut. Okay, could you do that again? And your voice was like quavering, right? You're not afraid or anything, are you?
Oh, I thought that was what you wanted from me, sir. Sorry, it says frightened in the script here.
Oh, okay, we'll do it that way again.
I was just going by the script.
Okay.
That's all I know, okay?
Okay. Ready, action.
I did not do it, you knob. Take off.
Cut. Beauty. Well, I think we can go with that. Lunch.
All right, now I'll show you. Would you mind being an actor for a moment? I'll show you how I direct.
Okay.
Can we have the actor on the set, please?
I'm here, sir.
Oh. Gee, you weren't exactly what we had in mind, but, well, we'll try it with you anyway. All right. Action.
I did not do it, sir.
Cut. Wait a minute. What are you doing?
I did the lines.
You did the lines?
I did the line.
You're not... Okay, we'll try it one more time. Action.
I didn't do it.
Cut. What are you doing?
I did the lines again.
You didn't do them
right. What are you doing to me?
All right. Are you a method
actor? I'm not getting paid enough.
You are. You're getting paid too much.
I'm walking off this set. You're a lousy director.
You can't walk. You're fired.
Cut.
Take off.
Break.
All right. Lunch, everybody. Jeez, what a hoser.
Yeah, what's going to happen if this plan don't work, eh?
The old man will boot us out of the house. We'll have no place to sleep.
Yeah, I could live in this van, eh? I don't need no
Take
place.
Take off. You need money to live or you'll starve.
Yeah, well, this plan sucks. I ain't going in.
You are, too. I'll tell the old man you gave away his beer money.
Okay. You boss me around.
Well, Elsinore.
12.
24.
Oh, yeah, sorry. 24 Elsinore beers.
24. Yeah.
24 Elsinore. 1470.
I believe there'll be no charge on this two for a beer, thank you.
Excuse me?
Okay. We found this mouse in a bottle of Elsinore beer that we bought at your beer store, eh? And we heard, like, when that happens that you get your beer free.
It's in the Canadian Criminal Code, eh?
Yeah.
Like, there's legal precedent-setting cases in law.
So, like, give us our free beer.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery. Now get out of here before I put the two of you in a bottle.
You sure you don't want to think this over?
I'm sure.
We're going. Yeah, see ya.
Jesus, a lot of arrows, eh? Elsinore Castle,
yeah.
Elsinore Brewery, Royal Canadian Institute for the Mentally Insane. Hey, that's the Looney Bin, eh?
Yeah, sure looks spooky up there. I don't like the look of this at all.
Where should we go, Looney Bin or Brewery?
I'm taking you to the Looney
Bin. Take off, take
me to
the brewery.
I'm going to the brewery.
No way, go to the brewery.
All right. But then I'm taking you to the Looney Bin.
Good morning. May I help you?
Yeah. We have an appointment with that guy there, eh?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Elsinore passed away recently.
No, wait. Yes. Well, we made the appointment with the deceased quite some time ago, eh?
Wait. Okay, you know his replacement, eh? Like the new boss? We made the appointment with him, eh? What's his name again?
I'm afraid that's private company business.
I see. Well, perhaps one of these would refresh your memory, eh?
It's a jelly.
Well, the day after he died, his brother Claude married his wife and took over the entire brewery. But there's a daughter.
Go, eh?
It's my last one.
Go.
She just turned 21 and legally inherits the whole brewery.
So she's the new boss?
Good morning, Miss Elsinore. I'm Brewmeister Smith. My condolences to you on the loss of your father.
I appreciate your sympathy, but I came here to talk about my plans for the brewery.
What? We're having a meeting.
You Claude Elsinore?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, well, we found this mouse in a bottle of your beer, eh? Like, we was at a party, and a friend of ours, a cop, had some, and he puked. And he said, come here and get free beer, or he'll press charges.
Henry, could this have happened?
Well, not so long ago, when there were men on the bottling lines, this sort of thing didn't happen.
So let's get some men on the bottling line. We'll see you guys later.
Hey, thanks for the job, Dave.
Yeah, we'll work real hard.
Where'd you boys get all this beer?
You stole it, didn't you? I'm calling the police.
No way. We got jobs. This was free beer, Dad. There's more outside.
How much more?
Oh, about 10 or 12 cases. We got jobs at Elsinore Brewery. We work there now, eh?
Do you hear that, honey? They got jobs. They got free beer.
Okay, Doug?
Yeah?
You spent quite some time in a brewery, eh?
That's right, I did.
Shooting a movie. So I guess you're an expert on beer, huh?
Well, Bob, I know just about everything there is to know about beer now. Go ahead, ask me anything.
How exactly is beer made?
Well, could you be a little more specific? Because I'm sure most of the people don't want to hear the whole thing.
Good point. Okay, you know when you take your empties back?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that part.
Okay.
And you know when you take them back and you get new beers and you go home and you drink them?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that part.
Okay.
I'm talking about everything when the empty gets back to the brewery to when it's filled up again at the brewery to go to the store.
Okay, thanks for narrowing that down for me, Bob. Well, basically, you're looking at a situation here that's like hops and barley, eh? And then they put it in big tanks and they let it rot in there. And when it gets really rotten and you think that it's going to be so smelly that it'll kill you, they take that liquid and drain it off and make that into beer. And then finally, at the end of it, they put that in bottles and it comes out. And that's when you take it home and enjoy it, eh?
Doug, I want to thank you on behalf of all your listeners for a real detailed and complete explanation of the process of beer making.
Well, thanks, Bob. I just hope that, like, it wasn't too complicated and it didn't sort of leave people with their heads spinning.
You know, knowing that you're such an expert,
yeah,
I'd like to talk to you sometime about the internal combustion engine or building a home.
Beauty.
Okay.
All right. In the background here.
Take off.
Do it. A strange
brew.
Well,
good day. I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother Doug.
How's it going, eh? We're those guys who talk over songs and wreck them, remember?
Yeah, here's another one.
Beauty, eh?
I was going to talk over the song. So this is the title, this strange brew. Got a 6.8 out of 10. It's The Adventures of Bob and Doug McKenzie, Strange Brew. That was the original title. Now it's just known as Strange Brew. Just like how Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark was Raiders of the Lost Ark. Except Raiders of the Lost Ark made it longer. Strange Brew made it shorter. So Canada's most famous hosers, Bob and Doug McKenzie from SCTV, get jobs at the Elsinore Brewery only to learn that something is rotten with the state of it. It's basically a retelling of Hamlet. The daughter inherits the brewery and the evil uncle wants to get rid of her and tries to kill her. And Bob and Doug McKenzie come along and save the day, kind of wandering through the... The film is a couple of boobs. They're super likable, though. This is a movie that cannot be made anymore because of the mental health institute next door. And there's a number of jokes that happen with the loony bin, as they call it. They're relatively lighthearted. It's nothing really malicious or anything, but it's just a movie that cannot be made anymore. It was made in 1983. I saw it in the theater with my friend Mike in Lawrence at the Lawrence Showcase. It's rated PG. It's an hour and 30 minutes. Considered a comedy movie, but it's also a crime movie and a sci-fi movie, too. It came out in August of 1983. Me and my friends from, going back to grade school and junior high and high school, we quote this movie left and right still. And I'm 47 years old now. And you say something from Strange Brew, it's got its own language, just like The Big Lebowski did, just like Clockwork Orange did. It's got its own language from these guys from Canada talking about toques and hosers and beauties and A after everything. You want to know if you're a hoser or not. You got a plaid, collared shirt on. You got a coat that's by Canadian Fog. You wear jeans. You have padded knees. You have pockets so you can fit extra beers in them. You might have a mouse in the beer. You have earmuffs and a toque to keep your head warm in the winter and your beer cold in the summer. You got boots on. You got broken shoelaces. It's fun. I mean, these two guys, Dave Thomas and Rick Moranis, created the characters on SCTV after they were told by Canadian Broadcasting that they need to have more things about Canada in the show in SCTV. So Dave and Bob were created. And it went on from there, and they became two of the most beloved characters from SCTV, which is the Canadian Saturday Night Live, for those of you who don't know. So in the background here, I got the soundtrack playing, which is long out of print. I'm actually going to slow it down here. And just tell you, man, it's one of my favorite comedies of all time. You can find it on Amazon. You can rent it on Amazon, and it's on DVD out there. Its budget was $4 million. It ended up making $8.5. There was going to be a second one, but they ran out. And there was going to be a sequel, and they ran out of money. Dave Thomas was directing it, and he actually got Rick Moranis back. They've only been together a couple of times since Rick Moranis, his wife, I believe, passed away, and he ended up raising his kids a number of years ago and retired from the movies. He used to be on SCTV, of course, and he was in Ghostbusters, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and a number of others. Everybody remembers Rick Moranis. And Dave Thomas, he still does some stuff every now and then. But you didn't see him as much as Rick Moranis. His star really took off after Ghostbusters. Max von Sydow is in it. He plays Brewmeister Smith. And Paul Dooley is in it. Lynn Griffin plays the girl. And Angus McGinns, I believe that's right. McGinns, is he plays Dutch in Star Wars. And he's in here as Jean LaRose. Rosie LaRose, who's a hockey player, who basically was at the mental ward. And Brewmeister Smith is poisoning all of them to get control of them so he can run the world after all the beer is sent to Oktoberfest and all the different bars and clubs around the world. It's a great movie. It's funny. I mean, there's a lot of dumb things in it, but you put your mind at the door and you enjoy yourself and you laugh for 90 minutes. I rewatched it again yesterday. I was still laughing. I mean, even at things that I knew were coming up, I knew the lines, and I was still laughing. It's one of my favorite movies, and I wish these characters were still around. And this soundtrack is amazing, too. It's been long out of print, and they did all kinds of new stuff on it. But it was never re-released, so you could only find it on vinyl. It's actually worth some cash, and I ended up picking up a copy of this years ago, and I just wanted to play some bits of that for you instead of the traditional trailer and dialogue for you. So that's Strange Brew here on Watch This on WMFO here in Medford. I'm going to move on to flick number 4, which is a completely different movie. However, it does have snow in it from 1996 from the Coen brothers. It's Fargo here on Watch This on WMFO in Medford, Mass.
I'm Jerry Lundegaard.
You got the car?
You bet. Brand new burnt umber Sierra.
You want your own wife kidnapped?
Her dad, he's real well off.
So why don't you just ask him for the money?
These are personal matters.
Personal matters?
Wait, it's Jerry. I don't know what to do. It's my wife. We gotta talk. It's something hard. Jeez, it's terrible.
So I got the state looking for a Sierra with a tag starting DLR.
I'm not sure that I agree with you 100% on your police work there, Lou. I think that vehicle there probably had dealer plates.
Jeez.
DLR?
No, they said no cops.
Here's the second one. So we got a trooper pull someone over.
This a new car then, sir?
Oh, it certainly is, officer. Still got that smell.
There's a high-speed pursuit, we got a shooting, and then this execution-type deal.
$1 million's a lot of damn money. They got my daughter.
Hiya, hon.
Brought you some lunch, Margie. What are those, night crawlers?
Oh, yeah, looks pretty good.
How's Jean?
Who's Jean?
My wife.
Oops. Well, the little guy, he was kind of funny looking.
You were having sex with a little fella then?
Yeah.
Mr. Lundegaard, do you mind if I sit down? Carrying quite a load here.
Where's Jerry?
I got your damn money. Now, where's my daughter?
Jeez.
Blood has been shed. We now want the entire 80,000.
I answered the darn... I'm cooperating here.
You have no call to get snippy with me. I'm just doing my job here.
What do you fellas got yourself mixed up in?
Police!
So, is there anything else you can tell me about him?
He wasn't circumcised.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, you look great.
Yeah, so do you. Oh, easy there, easy there, easy there, easy there. You do too. I'm expecting
you.
Oh,
I see that. That's great. Oh, what can I get you?
Oh, just a Diet Coke, please.
Great.
Okay. Oh, this is a nice place.
Yeah, you know, it's a Radisson, so it's pretty good. Yeah.
So... you're living in Edina, then?
Oh, yeah. A couple of years now. It's actually Eden Prairie, that school district. So, Chief Gunderson, then. Oh, so, you went and married Narm, son of a Gunderson.
Oh, yeah, a long time ago.
Great. So, what brings you down? Are you down here on that homicide, if you're allowed to, you know, to discuss that?
Oh, yeah, but there's not a heck of a lot to discuss.
Okay.
Well, what about you, Mike? Are you married? You got kids?
Yeah. Well, I was married. I was married to... You mind if I sit over here? I was married to Linda Cooksey.
No, why don't you sit over there? I prefer that.
Huh? Oh. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, no, just so I can see you. Don't have to turn my neck.
Oh, sure. I understand. I didn't mean to.
No. That's fine.
Sorry. I was married to Linda Cooksey. You remember Linda? She was a year behind us.
Yeah, I think I remember. Yeah. Yeah. So it didn't work out, huh?
And then I've been working for Honeywell for a few years now.
Oh, well, they're a good outfit.
Yeah, if you're an engineer, yeah, you could do a lot worse. But it's not—it's nothing like your achievement.
Oh, well, it sounds like you're doing really super.
It's not that, it's not that things didn't work out. It's, Linda had leukemia, you know. She was, she passed away.
No.
It was tough. There you go. It was a long, she fought real hard, Marge. You know, that's, what can you say? Better times, huh?
Better times.
Oh, and then I saw you on the TV, and I remembered, you know, I always liked you.
Well, I always liked you.
I always liked you so much.
So, Mike, should we get together another time, you think?
No, I'm sorry, it's, you know... I shouldn't have done this. I thought we'd have a really terrific time.
It's okay, Mike.
You were such a super lady. And then I've been so lonely.
It's okay, Mike.
Poor Mike. A lot of people think that scene's kind of out of place in Fargo. It is perfect. It's perfect. It causes Marge to be able to reassess her investigation skills. Because you later find out Mike Yanagita is lying, like bold-faced lying to her. His wife doesn't die. Her friend fills her in later. And he's basically trying to, he's trying to pick up a pregnant girl from high school. And it also gives you a little bit of extra insight to how special their relationship is with Norm and all those quiet moments when they're talking about the stamps and eating food and having breakfast together. Anyway, Fargo, it's Joel and Ethan Coen, 1996. They're fantastic. Well, most of their movies are great. There's always something good to look at in each one of their movies. I love No Country for Old Men. I love Fargo. I love Barton Fink is another one of my favorites. Hudsucker Proxy's great. This guy in the background, though, this soundtrack, they get him for a lot. Carter Burwell did the music for Fargo. And Fargo is just such, it's a crime, it's drama, it's crime, but it's also a thriller, but it's also funny. I mean, there's a lot of really funny moments in this. And just how pathetic William H. Macy's character is, plus that one with Mike Yanagita, it's just like, this is just guy that just failed in life and he's just miserable. And you see, you know, Marge and Norm, son of a gun, Gunderson, getting along and getting by and just living life, you know, and you don't realize how horrible it is for some people out there. Peter Stormare and Steve Buscemi play the kidnappers. They're fantastic in it. And it won a number of awards. Siskel and Ebert said it was their favorite movie of 1996. Probably mine as well from that year. It was an hour and 38 minutes, rated R, crime drama thriller. And I rewatched this recently and decided to put on my five flicks list. If you haven't seen Fargo, a guy basically has his wife kidnapped so he can steal some money from his father-in-law, who won't give it to him. And the quite pregnant Marge Gunderson is the police chief in town, and she goes out and finds the murderers and goes through her little bit of investigation. It's pretty good. Great. It's a great movie. As I say on all of them, it's a great movie. Budget was $7 million and ended up making $24 million. McDormand referred to her accent and mannerisms as Minnesota nice. I've been up to Minnesota, and yeah, they sure do talk like that. Some great, great moments in this. Check it out. Shep is a great character, too. They don't see him that much, but Shep is the one that lines up Jerry with his buddies, the kidnappers. And he has a lot of cool little moments, and he's not in very long, but he's silent until all of a sudden he can almost go back to jail. So he goes and attacks Jerry in one pretty big scene, very comical scene too. And after this, of course, it's on season 3, I think, now for Fargo on television. Watch the first season. It's pretty good. Has some ties to the movie. But I think this one will go down as a film classic. Again, you want to learn a little bit more about it. IMDb is out there, Rotten Tomatoes. I usually use IMDb and Wikipedia to learn a little bit more about the statistics as well as the backgrounds and some trivia on there. Going to do one more for you today, and then I'm going to talk about the box office from the weekend. I'll do See It, Rent It, Skip It today for you as well. But I got one more for you. It is from this year, and it actually won a Golden Globe for Best Film, I believe, Comedy or Musical. It's Bohemian Rhapsody, which is next here on Watch This. I'm going to play out with a little bit of Fargo, and we'll get into Bohemian Rhapsody. Thanks for listening to your Freeform station. This is Chris Thurl. You're listening to WMFO, 91.5 FM, Medford, Massachusetts, Tufts Freeform Radio. All right, flick number five today is Bohemian Rhapsody. Came out a little earlier this year. I loved it. Wasn't fantastic, but still good. Biography about Freddie Mercury from Queen, one of the best rock bands of all time. And Brian May and Roger Taylor were both involved. Rami Malek is fantastic in it. He makes the movie. Best thing about the movie. I didn't like how they kind of made him like he was lonely, which I don't think was really part of what happened with Freddie Mercury. But I liked how they had them as eccentric, four eccentric people that got together and made music for other eccentric people. That's how they kind of made the band. I love how Mike Myers is in it too, and he's the naysayer in the movie. It had a budget of around $50-55 million. Came out in October. It's made over $740 million. And it just won the Golden Globe the other day for Best Picture, musical or comedy. And I think it's got a pretty good shot at some Academy Awards too, especially for Rami Malek. He just did a great job in the movie. There's a possible sequel in the talks by Brian May, talking about a possibility of a sequel that covers from Live Aid up until Freddie's death, which I would love to see. They did a really good job. I really enjoyed it. I'm a huge Queen fan. Freddie Mercury, I still consider the best front man of any band, any rock and roll band of all time. He's just great. And go out and see it. If you love music, go see it. Even if you don't love music, go see it. It's worth seeing. And the album came out, the soundtrack, and there's a whole bunch of Live Aid live stuff in it that's just fantastic. So I'm going to play off Radio Gaga here, and then I'm going to talk about See It, Watch It, Skip It for the week. So again, Watch This is here every Wednesday night from 5 to 7 p.m. Thanks again for listening to your freeform radio station. It's WMFO here in Bedford. A little more Radio Gaga, and then I'm going to get into See It, Rent It, Skip It for the weekend of January 5th and 6th, 2019. WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Let's get into See It, Rent It, Skip It for this past weekend. It was January 5th and 6th.
Ice, ice, baby.
I'm assuming you guys saw Bohemian Rhapsody. Did you see it?
Haven't seen it yet.
Of course.
But now that Rami Malek has taken the Golden Globe, I think I have to.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Me too.
I know, Shay, we had talked about it. You saw it early on. And you said your dad was a limo driver for Freddie back in...
He was indeed.
Years ago.
Actually, him and his brother were Queen's limo drivers. Nice. His brother drove around all the straight members of the band. And he drove around Freddie, his boyfriend, and his hairstylist.
Hoorah!
And, well, my favorite quote from that was what in the world? I was just, yeah, that. My favorite story my dad has about that is Freddie yelling to him towards the front of the limo, could you turn the music up, Elizabeth? And then my dad would turn the music up. And he said, oh, could you turn it up a little bit more? And then he turned up. And then, oh, could you turn it up a little bit more? And he turned up. And then his boyfriend in the Harris house would go, will you turn that word I can't say on the radio music down?
That's pretty good.
My dad was 19 at the time.
I would love to listen to music with Freddie Mercury in the back of a limo.
Oh,
just
was,
that. I Maybe mean, have a drink.
He, to this day, my dad has had the craziest...
At what point is his hand creeping toward your pants?
No, oh, my dad has had one of the craziest lives of anybody I've met other than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, he says, like, that was just the dopest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was, like, the best. They used to get to sit in the back of them doing sound checks, like, rehearsing when they were performing in Boston, and just sit, him and his brother, by themselves, to a free, just them, Queen concert.
And that was like, one of the hottest bands in the world.
Yeah, yes.
At that point in time.
Well, and what's crazy, the best part of it is that he had no, like, at the time, he had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, my dad was born in 1953, so he was 19, so it was 1972. It was still very new. Like, they were still pretty new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like when Bohemian Rhapsody came out, the song, not the movie.
Right.
I hate that I have to make that clarification.
74, I believe.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like between like 72 and like every time they came, they were like, those two huge Irish boys. We want them to drive us around.
Yeah.
So let's talk about these top 10 from the weekend. I've seen some other movies. Curiously, is Bohemian Rhapsody's not in the top 10 anymore. It's been out since the end of October, but it's not in the top 10. I'm sure it might creep back in.
They're going to up
Golden Globes decided it was the best movie of the year.
They're going to up the number of theaters that it's showing in this coming weekend, so it may creep back in.
I was surprised that it won, but I was glad that it won.
Rumor has it that they paid for it. I don't know that I buy that.
I don't know. Who knows? I thought the Golden Globes,
like the
actually,
soundtrack.
Let's talk about that really briefly. I thought the Golden Globes was pretty good.
Yeah.
Carol Burnett was the best part of Golden Globes.
Carol Burnett is the best part of anything.
Yes.
She was great. Do you remember when we saw Tim Conway?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, years ago.
That was pretty fun.
Cool. We were on the vineyard and saw Tim Conway, and we were playing some Carol Burnett show.
A bartender at my work had me cover his shift.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted to watch the Golden Globes. He's gay, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he said he was very disappointed.
Really?
It was safe.
He said
safe.
Everyone was so reserved and so nervous.
Well, the comedy, the writing for it was horrible.
Well, it always is.
The jokes were terrible.
I mean,
there wasn't one good one.
Mixed with, it's just a weird combo.
What was going on? It's just crazy.
Like, I love Sandra Oh, and it was Andy Samberg, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're both great.
They